Hey friends, it's Heather. Okay, you guys are my people, my podcast friends and neighbors, and I'm so excited. I wrote a children's book. Can you believe it? It's my very first children's book. It's called Different, A Great Thing to Be. It stars our girl, Macy, who is a lot like you and me, but she's also quite different, which is a great thing to be. I wrote this for all of us, for your kids, for my kids, for all of the kids, and the book is available June 29th. If you would pre-order this book and share it with your teachers and your grandparents and your neighbors and your friends and your churches, it would mean so much to me. To learn more, you can head over to heatheravis.com/different, and the book is available right now for pre-order everywhere books are sold. We also have some fun, exclusive pre-order perks for those of you who do buy the book before June 29th. Again, head to heatheravis.com/different. I'm so excited for this book to make its way onto your bookshelves as together we celebrate the different in all of us.
They make it sound so easy. And then when it comes to time for us to do it, here we go. Hey, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Look A Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Josh.
And this is Chris.
Hey, you may have noticed this. These are not the voices of Heather, Micah, and Mercedes, because today we're taking over for a very special Father's Day episode. This is going to be fun. Thank you for joining us, friends. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Chris, how are you?
Josh, I am doing great. Thanks for asking.
Of course. We need to say too, Andy couldn't join us. Andy Lara, Mercedes' husband, couldn't join us. He is right now that he's celebrating Father's Day in Hawaii.
So wow,
We gave him a pass.
Come on, Andy.
Yeah. So catch us up a little bit, Chris.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to hear?
Well, I mean, the last time I talked to you, I was sitting in a closet at my house when we used to live in LA, and I had AirPods in, and we recorded a dad's episode. I don't know if it was a Father's Day episode. Shoot.
Yeah. And so I was sitting at a dining room table overlooking the Pacific Ocean in San Francisco, and now I'm in my little office here in New Jersey. So a little different.
And how's it going?
Man, I absolutely love it. I deeply miss our life in San Francisco, and shout out to all our dear friends and community there. But it's been an unequivocal good thing for us to be out on the East Coast, to be in closer to family, and some really good, I know that Mike has talked about some really good school situations for our boys. And I do love the East Coast, I gotta be honest.
And I mean, we're excited. We're gonna come see you in a little bit, so.
That's right. You're gonna be living in our house when we're not here.
We're coming out, we're bringing Macy to the East Coast. So yeah, I mean, the last time I remember talking with you and Andy, I was still working full-time in a different job, and now I joined forces with Heather. And so here I am sitting in our office in the backyard. So time flies, but I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Chris, before we jump in, share a review from one of our listeners.
I would love to. So this is a tremendous review. I love it. Okay, so CE Wolf 15 says, love the work you're doing, spreading awareness and acceptance. As a new DS parent, it's great to hear real, relatable conversation. Love that, CE Wolf 15. And remember, if you leave an awesome review, maybe you'll get your review read on the air. So go ahead, review them on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks, friends. I think that's CE Wolf. Thanks, CE Wolf.
No, it's okay. I'm sure it's CE Wolf.
See, well, 15. All right, so let's jump in. Father's Day, being a father, fatherhood. Chris, tell me one of your first memories, or tell me something that you appreciated about your father just right off the bat.
Yeah, man, first memory. Okay. I'm going to give you a first memory. So I was probably, 4-ish. And my mom and my dad had separated, and my dad had bought an apartment in New York, like Hoboken, right? And then he had bought an old house in Brooklyn, and it was just being gutted. But he had me and my younger brother, who was like one or two at the time. I remember vividly going in with crowbars, and he just let us swing crowbars in this house and just like tear down, you know, the drywall and everything, and thinking that was so cool. Would you, I would not let my kids touch a crowbar at the, like, even at like age 13, certainly.
I'm getting excited right now thinking about
it. You just want to do it yourself. Yes. I mean, it was super fun. I remember it being super fun, but I think, I mean, obviously it was special because I'm there with my dad and my brother, and we're kind of doing something that feels illicit and dangerous. But I think now that I'm reflecting on it, I kind of think, you know, my dad always treated me like bigger than I was. You know, he always treated me like I was more deserving of maybe respect than I deserved, than I was, right? And just never spoke down to me. And I don't know if I've ever put it that way, but that memory has me thinking about it.
I love that. Man, my first memory, well, one of my first memories of my dad, shout out to my father. He's 72. And he has had a mustache for most of those years.
Cycled in and out of coolness, not keeps coming back.
You should see. Oh my gosh, I would love to give Val the picture of their
show
wedding.
Notes. Let's do it.
But yeah, like the mustache, it was like a dirty mustache. It was like kind of a creepy mustache. It was the rad mustache. It was like the handlebar mustache. So
ironic mustache.
I'm telling you. So I remember him kissing me goodnight at night, saying goodnight, you know, when I'm falling asleep. And it was always scratchy. It was like always scratchy. And that's like the first thing that comes to mind. So I think the thing I appreciate about my dad the most, that I feel like he's handed down, is he was just so consistently a hard worker and so supportive of my mom. So I appreciate you, Dad, for that. And yeah, I mean, he worked the same job for 39 years, wow, which is kind of unheard of nowadays.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you are a dad of three boys. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, three boys. Oldest is almost 13. And, you know, Ace is 6, right? So you guys hear, you know, Micah's perspective, and and you hear the experience through her lens. And I think what she brings to the table, right, is this incredible depth and compassion and awareness of Ace's needs. And so she is so committed, right, to the little things, like every little thing that he needs, whether it's the electric toothbrush gum massager that is going to help him feel like, you know, his gums are alive so that he can start to eat, right? And spending 45 minutes with him per meal that you used to do, or it's, you know, making sure he has the right compression shirt. Like, she's so on top of all those things. And I think that's the world, that's kind of where she operates and how she loves him and takes care of him. And that goes through like the therapies, right? We're doing music therapy now. We're doing horse therapy. She will stop at nothing to give him what he needs. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that. I think my experience is very much focused on how do we care for this little guy long-term? I think my heart goes to what is his life going to be like when he's older and he's not as, you know, reality is he's not going to be as sweet and cuddly forever. And he gets a lot of love from the world because he is sweet and cuddly right now. And that's going to change. And my heart breaks for those moments. And so my heart goes to what do I need to do to ensure that we care for him financially from a community perspective and put him in a place where he's going to be loved and accepted and welcome. And if that means that we've got to save like $1 zillion, like I will do what it takes to get that to happen. And that's, I think I bear that burden in a different, it's a different burden than the one Micah bears, but they work together. And I think we probably don't talk about it enough, but yeah, I'll just end there.
As you were talking, I thought, oh man, how is my fatherhood different than Heather as a mom. And I think things shifted majorly about 3 years ago, well, a little bit more than 3 years ago, where I had a full-time job. I was working 9 to 5 in the office, and then we joined forces in our business, but also I was working from home with her alongside her, and then started to take on more responsibilities of the home. And early on in that first year, I must have said to her a dozen times, oh my gosh, this is so hard. This is such a hard job. And I learned so much from her, and she would just laugh at me and say, I had no idea. I had no idea that you were doing this much. I didn't realize how much time and energy and advocating and mental health and so of what she was carrying. I think what I realized was it was just an eye opener for me personally in my personal experience. Yeah. And I think every dad out there is a different journey with kids that have Down syndrome, that they're either guardians to or adopted or they're biological. But man, it's been a humbling experience to take that on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like the important thing is to talk about how you experience those burdens, right? And be aware that the burden that you carry is going to be different. It has to be, but there's a sharing of that. And I think the killer is when you can't talk about it, right? When you just kind of suffer in silence or feel like there's not aware that you're even carrying it.
Yeah. And that really came out this last year with the pandemic, with Absolutely. From friendships to the education. I mean, Macy didn't even go back. She didn't go back this year because we collectively were able to, I mean, Heather and I did talk it through, and we always have, you know, you always have those hard conversations in your kitchen. You're sitting there and you're like wrestling through these things. And we made that hard decision to keep Macy home for the rest of the year. But I think had I not experienced some of that early on with sharing some of the stuff at home, and I think all of us experienced some of that when we were forced to work at home. And I think that's a great question to, I think a lot of people out there is like, what did you see when you were home with your spouse, with your significant other and shouldering the care for your kiddos? I mean, that's going to be played out for a long time. And I think those are the conversations. Those are the hard conversations that are being had. And that's what I love about this space is that we can sit here and talk to each other and share that and hear that. And yeah.
Love that. Josh, I had a question for you as you were talking, like, one thing that is different, because, you know, Ace is our youngest. And I think something we experienced differently as he, you know, starts to get older is the expectations around, like, later in life for him. Like, you kind of know that when your kids, you know, that's hard, right? It's hard for a while. Changing diapers is hard. Schoolwork is hard. Homework, like, relationships are hard. But you kind of always have this light at the end of the tunnel, right? Okay. Like, at some point they're going to go off. Maybe they're going to come live with me until they're 26 or something, but eventually they're going to find their way. And like, I will be able to breathe and in a different way than I have. And it will be hard, but like, I'll be done with this thing. And my relationship to them will fundamentally change to one of almost equals in some way, right? Where they're not dependent on me. With our kids with disabilities, right? With any parent who has a child with disabilities, like, that relationship will in many ways not make it to that stage, right? They will always be dependent. I wonder if you've thought about, like, the different way you as a father, like, how does that feel different to you than it does, right?
Yeah.
Right, otherwise.
Oh man. Yeah. I think what comes to mind when you ask that is sometimes there's like a daily letting go or a daily, honestly, sometimes it feels like 1,000 deaths. And when it comes to friendships or it comes to academics or it comes to long-term, that long-term thinking that you're talking about. And part of it feels like how do I lean in and let go of what my expectations were through the daily things, but also some of the long-term. And I think we can make plans. We've made plans. We have a trust. We have things that we can plan for, but I guess my internal optimism, I'm such a silver lining that I keep thinking it's just going to be okay. And I don't know if that's naive. I think I really worry about her friendship as an adult. And I think something that Heather and I talk about is how can anyone possibly love our kids as much as we do after we're gone? And that haunts me. And so I think a community is super important. I think you can surround yourself with people who love your kiddos, but also if you listen to this podcast and you're in this community, you know what a gift our kids are and you know what a gift they are. And those people who get to be around them, it's a gift and it's the relationship. And I think those who get to take care of Macy and Augie and Ace and in whatever capacity they're in and the independence that they're in, it's going to be cherished. And I just believe that. I believe that.
Yeah. You've got to hope, right? And that's what it is.
Did that answer your question?
I think that's a question that is not going to be answered.
Sure.
Right. I think it's a dynamic question that will keep, I don't know. It keeps me thinking a lot. And that's one, I love the response.
It's funny. I don't remember all of our conversation, but I do remember you touching on this last time we talked. Mm. Yeah.
Well, this is, I just want to make sure the listeners get it twice. That's okay.
No, but I think it's also how we're hardwired, you know? And yeah. I think as dad's protection and provision and all of that is wired in who we are. And I think it's really important to think about. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in some ways it's, I don't know. It's just our identities as fathers will be there through our whole lives, mm-hmm. in a way that I don't know. Maybe it will feel the same with our kids who don't have these types of needs. But I don't know. It feels like maybe it will be different with them in some ways where they will be independent in a different way. And so yeah. I don't know. That's something I also sort of treasure. There's a part of me that is incredibly grateful that, at least how I imagine it, Ace will always want to like give me big hugs in a way that maybe my other kids will someday grow out of. Mm-hmm. He will, at least so far, if I take the trajectory, I'm going to still be getting a lot of hugs for a long time.
I love that. I love the word treasure. When I see older couples with their adult children, and their relationship. We just did a story a little bit ago on This Is Down Syndrome, the project that we're working on. And there was an older couple with their adult son who was my age. And I just watched them interact. And it was so beautiful. And it's not all like, don't get me wrong. I don't wear rose colored glasses. It's just different. It's different. And I think that's the mental shift that I may have made a while ago of like, what does this look like? And Mason and August have, and all three kids really have changed the trajectory of our lives so much that now it's like, lean in, like jump in the river and like we're in the flow. And what does that look like? I don't think it's going to be much different than what it is now. It'll be different. Like you talked about like little kids, it's hard. You know, into the adolescence, oh my gosh, to teenagers, look out, to college, I don't know, to older, it'll look different. But I think if it's anything like today, man, I'm learning so much from my kids and I have treasured so much of the experience. And yes, it's hard. And yes, it's constantly different than what I thought. And it's we're in a different lane, but that's where we're going. When we're adults, when we're older, I hope I'm healthy. That's what I'm thinking about. Like, I hope I'm healthy. And I hope we have those experiences. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. I think one constant is that, I mean, certainly you and I have talked about, but most people who are aware and most people who are aware would say, I wouldn't change a thing, right? As hard as it is, I would not undo this. Now, I know that there are some needs that feel different from that, but I think for me, and I think for you too, as hard as it is, it's made us who we are. It's still making us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have lots of families listening, lots of moms listening. There's also a lot of dads out there, young dads. Chris, what would you say? What would be just a nugget of advice for a young dad right now?
Yeah. I'm going to give two. The first one is get up in the night. I mean, that's an investment in whatever relationship you have with the mother of your child. I think get up in the night, figure out a way to be there, to be present, to make it feel like you are sharing that, even if you can't fully. That's first one. Second one is a little bit less. I mean, that's not tongue in cheek. That is serious, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. All right. Cut all that, Josh. cut all that fluff. The second one, man, I would say every day is going to feels like you just want to get through it. Hmm. And you just can't wait till you can crawl in bed and relax. There will be a point in almost every day that feels that way. And every day you will kick yourself for not appreciating it more and not wishing you had enjoyed it and been more aware of it and savored it. It's just I think it's just the paradox, and it's just hard. And, but that's the work, I think. How do you enjoy it when it's hard? Mm,
that's good. How do you enjoy it when it's hard? I think for me, I mean, a little bit, Chris, you're describing our season a little bit. Like every day feels hard, and every day feels, there's one point during the day, I really do feel like let's just get through the day. Mm. I think it's a little bit different now that I'm home and spending more time with my kids. But I think what I would say to a young dad is, you got this. Everything you need, you already have. And I think I would say, spend as much time as you possibly can with your kids. You can't get that time back. Mm-hmm. You can't get that time back. And so however that looks, I think there's times where I look back and I just really cherish that time. And I'm 12 and a half years into this. And yeah, you can't stop that time. I think the other stuff that feels like you want to say is, be humble, be a learner, be a listener. Those are like the classics in the Avis house. But I think that's not maybe so much for a young dad as much as for maybe an adolescent dad, is I'm constantly learning from Macy, constantly. And I'm constantly watching her overcome. And sometimes I feel like a little bit of woe is me, or like maybe I'm whining about some stuff. And then her getting up in the morning and getting out and facing the world every day, she overcomes. Our kids overcome so much in one day, and there's a lot to learn there. So she's my hero. She says to me all the time, Dad, you're my hero. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Mace, you don't have no idea. You are my hero.
Love it.
Yeah. Anything you would say to your younger self beyond that, Chris?
Oh gosh. I think that second part, I would say, really, I would stare at myself in the mirror and grab my shoulders and shake myself and be like, no, you don't, you think you get it, but you don't. I think I definitely have regrets of how I parented. I think there's a lot of stuff I want to undo that feels hard to unwind from, just how I showed up. I think I'm certainly parenting myself out of my kids.
Hmm.
and I'm trying to, you know, shape them to be who I wish I had been, or in some ways. There's a lot of that for me. And I regret that, and still I'm working through it. So I think I would try and seed that in myself as a parent earlier. So maybe it wouldn't be so much work to unwind.
Yeah. It's so stinking hard not to project onto your kids though. It really is. And that resonates with me. Mm. You said parenting yourself out of your kids. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Man. Yeah. Maybe offline we'll talk about what that looks like. That's a different podcast.
Yeah. We're not starting a podcast though.
No.
Oh my gosh. As we were talking, I was thinking a little bit just about how fierce advocates our wives are. And I mean, they're both just powerhouses. They are, I don't know if I'm allowed to say bad, if that's allowed or not. Maybe I'll bleep that out, but talk just real quickly, a little bit about how you advocate as a father. It may be similar to Micah. It might be different, but they are advocating so much. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll say two things. First, I think one thing I help Micah with is just, I think she will sometimes look at what she's doing and maybe be tempted to minimize it.
Hmm.
You know, it's what is it? Is it real work, quote unquote? Right. And I think that's one place where I hopefully am supporting her the way she needs, but I feel that it's certainly important that I try and that I do what I can there. I think for me personally, I am not on social media really. Like I don't have a platform that way, but my platform is the people I work with a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm pretty open about Ace. I'm proud of him and I love talking about him. And so taking opportunities in a work environment to talk about not just like, hey, I have this cute kid, but the vulnerability of how hard it can be and what it's meant for us. And I think maybe if other people, if there are other moms or dads out there in that have a work type platform, I mean, I have been blown away by how eager people are to have people like me just speak openly and honestly about the challenges of stuff like this. They just love it. They soak it up. Yeah. And it feels like water on the dry ground of a work culture.
Yeah.
I've been really grateful for in both of my last two roles to be welcome to speak into that in different ways.
Man, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I think, relationships change everything. So that's, I love to hear that.
Yeah. Josh, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I love playing a supporting role. So I also don't really have a platform on social media. I've backed off quite a bit, but I'm immersed in what we're doing. And so I tend to be behind the camera and doing a lot of editing and doing a lot of the supporting role. And Heather's absolutely the visionary and she's casting the vision. She's the spokeswoman. So I love to play in the role of catching that vision. And so yeah, there was a comment made a little while ago and it makes me laugh that someone said, oh, I thought you were a single mom because there's so many pictures of our kids, so many pictures with Heather. And I thought, who do you think's taking most of these pictures? But I shy away from the camera a little bit. I shy away from the microphone, but I think the way that I can advocate is just keep being a supporting role. And showing up. I mean, we're showing up at IEPs and therapies and making appointments and stuff like that. But yeah, I just shout out to our wives though, for sure.
Yes.
For what they do. All right. Did we miss anything? Is there anything, any last bits of?
I was going to ask you do you have any favorite father related movies or anything like that?
Oh man, probably like a serious one. Gosh. I have to think about it. What about you?
Well, I asked the question cause I had an answer, yeah. Which is not fair to you. Cause you know, I was thinking about the movie About Time.
Hmm.
You ever see that movie About Time? by the director who did, you know, Love Actually and Four Weddings and a Funeral. I forget his name. But it's, the premise is kind of silly, right? It's like this family has a unique ability, or I don't know, magical gift, to go back and relive parts of their lives. And it's really just a meditation on time. And it's a really sweet father son thing. And I would encourage dads out there to check it out. And moms too, because it will maybe help you see the father son dynamic in a different way. But it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, this has been fun. I feel like I'm going to call you later and we're going to debrief a lot of this.
Can't wait.
Okay, so this is the part where we talk about good news. This is a fun segment. So Truly Star, kick us off.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Chris, give me some good news.
Man, the last, I'm going to call it week or so, has been special delight because of Ace's new word. Part of me wants to call it his first word, because it's the first one that feels like whenever I say the word to him, he knows what I'm saying, and I can tell he knows it. He's not just finishing a song. And the word is head, and he does it whenever I say head. He puts his hands on his head. And he says, head. And it's from the Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes song. But he's connecting my sound with what he's touching. And it's just cool. I mean, if you've been listening, you know that like Ace is nonverbal. And it feels like that's a long road. And we have hope that he will be able to tell us he loves us someday. And this feels like a big step in that direction.
Oh, absolutely. I love that. Sweet Ace. Okay, so mine is a couple weeks ago. Augie and I'm gonna try to be brief, but it's a long story. So my kids have an agency, an ad agency that represents them. Ad agency reached out, said we want you to audition. I'm not gonna tell you what it is because we're not allowed to talk about it yet. But the agency reaches out. It's for Macy and Augie. We miss the time. We get in late. It's not starting off well, and it's supposed to be just Macy and Augie. And the casting director says, oh, if there's other people there, is the rest of your family there? Go ahead and just jump in. And I'm not expecting to audition for anything. I don't even want to. So we get in there and it goes horribly wrong. Mason storms off. Like it wasn't the right song that she wanted to listen to. We were supposed to dance. And I'm like this awkward dad in the back dancing, and I'm like, there's no way we'll get a call back. We get a call back. This time we get the time wrong again. I don't know why we can't get the time right on these auditions. We get it, we get in there, it goes okay. I'm like, okay, I don't know why we're doing these. So we get a call back and they say, oh, we want you. It's just August and me, not the girls, not Heather. So Augie and I, we show up, we get fitted for some clothes. And then we go back like a week later and we're there all day, like all day. It's like, I thought it would be a couple hours. We're into the seventh and a half hour of me trying to entertain August all day.
My goodness.
I'm like feeding him snacks and I'm like trying to keep his energy up and they're going to call us in. 7.5 hours. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if he's going to do it. It's up and down and up and down. And his, you know, like sometimes he's like ready to go and sometimes he's not. And so we get in the studio. He walks onto the set. He looks around. He claps his hands. He puts his hands in the air and he goes, it's showtime.
No.
He walks out and he absolutely kills it. After being like contained for 7.5 hours, he 100% killed it. And I was so proud of him. I was also part of this production. I won't tell you that part, but I was so proud of him. He just turned it on.
It's a natural, electric.
Oh, man. Okay. So thank you for joining us, friends. As always, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail or DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news. Share about your loved one with Down syndrome. Or if you have Down syndrome, share your experience. And if you have a product or business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, we'd love to partner with you. You can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. And a huge thank you to our producer, Val Schleter, to our wives who make this podcast happen every week, and to all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember, you, dear listener, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We're cheering for you. Chris, thank you so much. This has been fun. It's been a good conversation, and we'll get Andy in here on the next round.
That was fun.
All right. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
Hey, listen, I have to say this one last thing. June 29th, the day my wife's book comes out. Different, a great thing to be. My wife's first children's book. I'm so proud of her. She's going to be mad that I put this in here, but she works so hard and she deserves a little bit of credit here. So this is a good book. I know she's my wife. I know I'm biased, but gosh darn, this thing is beautiful and it's so needed out there. So do yourself a favor, go grab this book. It comes out June 29th. And when it does, show Heather a little love. She'd love that. She doesn't love the promotion. She doesn't love self-promoting, but she loves you guys, and she's such an advocate. She's such a shouter of worth. She's such a narrative shifter, and I'm so proud of her. So, friends, go get that book. It's available everywhere books are sold, and I couldn't appreciate you more. Okay.
Bye.